One of the issues at the Y River Plantation this month during the negotiations with Israel, the PLO, and the United States, one of the issues was Jonathan Pollard. Pollard was an American citizen when he spied on the U.S. for Israel and betrayed some of the U.S. intelligence community's most important secrets. Benjamin Netanyahu, I love the names that they have over there in the Middle East, don't you? Don't you envy those names? Benjamin Netanyahu wanted to bring Pollard back to Israel with him to pacify some of the right-wing antagonists to his whole approach to making peace with the PLO. Israel's patriot, he's now an Israeli citizen, Israel's patriot is America's traitor. When you betray your country, as Pollard did, for about $50,000 in cash, some luxurious travel, and a $7,000 diamond ring for his wife, who he's now divorced from, the penalty you get is life in prison. The question today is, what happens when you betray God? Open your scriptures to James, the fourth chapter. James, the fourth chapter, we'll look at this paragraph starting in verse 4 today. Okay, you ready for some real, this is vintage James. This is not therapeutic ministry. This is straight James ministry. Okay, verse 4. You adulterous people, don't you know? Now, if you go back to the 17th century translation, I like it a little better. It says, you adulterers and adulteresses. He makes sure nobody gets off the hook, okay? You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Let's stop there and we'll make comment, okay? Men, here's the point today. If you flirt with the world and become its friend, the consequences are terrible. You become God's enemy. The world's patriot is God's enemy. God will not compete. He will not compete. He wants to be the one on whom we set our affections. He wants to be the one who provides for our happiness. We can only have one love. Any competition is called hatred toward God. James says we are adulterers. Men, this is not about sex. This is about betrayal and unfaithfulness. You remember when we did the sixth commandment? Was it, thou shalt not commit adultery? That's more about faithfulness and being loyal than it is about sex. The fundamental issue here, men, is found in verse 5. Okay? Verse 5. Or do you think the scripture says without reason that the spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? Let me give you another translation of that I think is probably more accurate. Okay? The translators are having trouble with this verse. But here's what I think, after some study, probably says it the way James wanted to say it. Do you think the scripture says without reason that God jealously longs for the spirit that he made to live in us? Man, what can you be legitimately jealous of? What can you be legitimately jealous of? Huh? I'm not supposed to say, huh? Somebody told me not to say, huh? What can you be legitimately jealous of?
Positive character.
You're jealous of what you own. What is yours? And men, God made us. He gave himself for us. And he gave us his spirit. He is jealous of us. When we turn to the world, and the world is what? It's any agenda that is not God's. When we turn to the world, which is any agenda that is not his, the world's value system, we get on the wrong side of God, he will not put up with it. You know why some people, now you've got to be careful about a statement like this. You know why some people have so much trouble? They never got this thing sorted out. They have the spiritual splits. They're trying to walk both sides of the street. You can't do it with God. He won't compete. He won't tolerate it. When James was writing this letter, men, the popular agenda was the wisdom of the revolutionaries. That's really the catalyst for his writing the book of James. And what was the agenda? Fight your way to freedom and success. Fight your way out of it. Get rid of those Romans. Kill those Pharisees and Sadducees that are friends with the Romans. Kill them. The spirit of the zealots. Now, what is the issue today, though, in Atlanta, Georgia, in Buckhead? What is the spirit? What is the world's agenda today that we have to be careful about? What is the idol that we're going to be tempted to serve instead of God? What do you think it is? Maybe the idol today is overload. Trying to live as if we have no limits. I got these ideas from a book called Living with Overload. Men, we're always in a hurry. We're off balance. We are consumptive. Consumptive. Things are paid for in dollars. Dollars are earned by working. Working consumes time, and time is what we are trying to gain. All these little gadgets that we have, they reduce our time because they all are invasive. It used to be you'd mail something on Friday afternoon and you'd had all weekend to think about it. Now you get the answer back. We mortgage the future with debt. Our relationships suffer. They are too superficial. They're too superficial to give us any emotional strength. Do you know where you get emotional wholeness? In relationships, in intimacy with other people. And if you're married, especially with your wife. But we're too busy and too overloaded to enjoy our wives. Right, David? David gave me an amen over here. Men, we need more intimacy, not more superficiality. We need to spend more time, to quote one of our table leaders, with fewer people. I won't embarrass him. He said, what I need to do is spend more time with fewer people. This is tough to do, though, isn't it? How do you do this in the land of hype and sound bites? How do you do it? Well, thank God for the scripture. James concludes today with verse 6. He says, but God gives you more grace. God doesn't leave you out there all by yourself. Look at this. But he gives us more grace. That is why the scripture says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. That's a direct quote, incidentally, from the third chapter of Proverbs. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The promise here is, men, is that no matter how bad the world has sucked us in, and for some of us, we're so sucked in that we've quit. We're so sucked in that we've lost our vision for what God would have us to be. And what James is saying, no matter how deep the hole, no matter how overloaded your life is, if you go to him humbly, He will give you more grace to fight the virulent enemy overload. If you are humble and see your need for Him, He will give you the grace, is what James is saying. But you can only go to God one way, on His terms. And you go to Him empty-handed. And you say, God, you've got to save me. You've got to get me out of this situation that I'm in. I remember it was about 20 years ago. I went to this elder in my church up in Pennsylvania, St. David's, Pennsylvania, and I said, I'm up the creek. I'm a possum up a gumstump. I owe everybody. American Express is calling me, this and this and this and this. I had made some horrible financial decisions before I came to know Jesus Christ. And that man sat down with me, and we put a plan together, and I called all these guys, and I said, you just have to wait, and you'll get it eventually. And over several years, the Lord delivered me from that disaster. Men, the alternative is to be in opposition to God. Not a good deal, believe me. He says He opposes the proud. How would you like to be on the other side of God? Some people live that way. To me, they're not too smart. I'm trying to be the other way. I play it very, very conservatively with God. God will tell me, I don't have time for a quiet time. I mean, He's a lot braver guy than I am. God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Let me challenge you this morning, man, to get with the Lord, plead humbly with Him. Plead, lay on the floor. I did one time. I just laid on the floor. I said, I can't handle all this. IBM doesn't like me, and my wife doesn't like me. And, you know, what am I going to do? And he delivered me. Eventually, I got that thing straightened out. Plead humbly with the Lord. Lord, give me a way out of the trap. Help me get out of overload. Give me intimacy with You and my wife and family especially. Forgive me for living a consumptive lifestyle. God gives more grace. We can do it with Him. We can't do it without Him. Let's have prayer together. Lord, I'm just glad that You're God. I'm glad that You're compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and full of love and truth. And Lord, when we talk about these things here, this is real. There are a lot of men here in this room that are stuck. They're stuck in overload. They don't know how to get off the treadmill. I pray that You will give them the grace, that they would have the grace to come to You humbly, get on their knees and beg You to return you to the simple, wonderful relationships that You want us to have, especially with You, and if we're married, especially with our wives. And if we're not married, You would give us the grace to live the kind of life that You want us to have. This is all from You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.